tonight, Brother Mel Futrell. And tonight he's going to come in his own way by what are you saying? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You're going to be Bible there. He's ready to go, Brother Futrell. You ready? You got it.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and good evening to all who are on the call. Brother Bishop, thank you for that prayer. I'm coming to you, as Brother Tommy mentioned, from Birmingham, Alabama, and I send greetings from the Shades Mountain Church of Christ right here in Birmingham, Alabama. Our theme for the hour and question for the hour is, by what are you saved? By what are you saved? I have before me a songbook, and I have it open to the hymn, Salvation Has Been Brought Down. I invite you, maybe later tonight or at your earliest opportunity, to turn to that song in your hymnal from the congregation where you worship. Look at it. Look at the three stanzas and look at the chorus. Salvation has been brought down. I mention that, brethren, because salvation is of the utmost importance to each and every one of us. We sing about salvation. Indeed, we do. We pray thanking God for his salvation. Every first day of the week, we assemble and partake of the Lord's Supper. We eat the unleavened bread and we drink the cup, the fruit of the vine, and we do so remembering the death of our Lord, the being God in the flesh who purchased our salvation. We give as we're prospered every first day of the week, and some of those monies, my brethren, go to the salvation of the souls of men and women, of boys and girls. And tonight, we're preaching about salvation. Again, our theme for the hour, by what are you saved? I'm over at Acts chapter 2 to begin with. We're coming back to Ephesians chapter 2 momentarily. But in Acts chapter 2, the chapter concludes with verse 47, as you well know. And may I quote before you that verse? Here's what it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, get it now, added to the church daily those who were being saved. One more time. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church is the saved, and the saved are the church, and salvation is that important to you and me. It's important to us. I want others to have what I have, salvation. And so, knowing by what you are saved is, again, of the utmost importance. Tonight, stay with me with open minds and open Bibles. Again, open minds and open Bibles. The Word of God. Point number one tonight, by what are you saved? You are saved by faith. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, here's what the Apostle Paul penned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm quoting primarily from the King James Version, from time to time from the New King James Version, but again, follow along in the Bible that is before you. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I quote those verses because I want to assure you that I, and Brother Tommy, and Brother Bishop, and all faithful preachers of the gospel, and all faithful members of the church that belongs to Christ, believe that we are justified by faith, that we are saved by faith. But the claim comes so often. You've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard it again and again and again, and I expect I'll hear it again and again and again throughout the remainder of my days on this earth. But that claim is wrong, and that claim from them is that the churches of Christ don't believe in salvation by faith, but we do. Our brethren have debated that very point. We have insisted that we believe in every verse, every passage from the Word of God that indicates we are justified or saved by faith. But what we do not believe in, have not believed in, nor will we ever believe in, is salvation by faith alone, by faith only. James 2 and verse 24 says, in your Bible and in mine, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. By what are you saved? Brethren and friends, we are indeed saved by faith. We are grateful for that, but we're not saved by faith only. Point number two, by what are you saved? We are saved by the blood of Christ. Back to the book of Romans, back to chapter 5, take a quick gander at verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Watch it now, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If you're saved, you were saved by the blood of Christ. And Paul could not have been any more clear than he was there in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. But may I build upon that just a moment. Stay with me. Our Lord predicted, again, the connection of his blood and the remission of sins, the salvation of souls. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, when instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, of the new covenant, which is, watch it now, shed for many for the remission of sins." In John 19 and verse 34, you'll find these words, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Our Lord shed his blood in his death. And we contact that blood in another act, again, that we'll talk about as we close out a few moments from now. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, Paul is writing about our Lord, and he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 1, 7, and one would be hard put to find more meat and more doctrine packed into one little verse than is found there in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Before we leave our second point, by what are you saved? We're saved by the blood of Christ. I remind you that in Acts chapter 20, Luke recorded a conversation between the Apostle Paul and the eldership of the church in Ephesus. Acts 20 and verse 28 says, again in our Bibles, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." By what are you saved? You're saved by faith. By what are you saved? You're saved by the blood of Christ. Point number 3, dear brethren and friends, by what are you saved? You are saved by grace. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, here's what you'll find. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But then verse 24, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Indeed, we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that Brother Tommy mentioned in our introduction a moment ago. What a wonderful verse. We could have begun there, in fact. But here we are now. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace, you know it, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our salvation is not on the basis of meritorious works. You and I can't do enough good deeds to have God in our debt where he owes us anything. But he has offered us salvation through his grace. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Titus 2, 11 and 12. Go back to the beginning of verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." We are saved indeed by grace. We are unashamed of that. And yet, brethren, we insist that we are not saved by grace alone. We are not saved by grace only. The New Testament does not teach that. The Word of God does not teach that. The Bible does not teach that. But it does teach that we're saved by faith, that we're saved by the blood of Christ, and that we are saved by grace. And we are happy to adhere to that and to promote that, to proclaim that, and to preach that at every opportunity. Point number 4, at 11 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, by what are you saved? You are saved by the gospel. Romans 1, 16 and 17 read as follows, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But don't forget verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul penned in the long ago, was moved by the Spirit of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to live our lives. We need to conduct our worship services. We need to, again, insist on matters of doctrine that always comport with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul penned these words, same Paul, but now to the church in Corinth. He said, for though you have 10,000, 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, what have I begotten you by the gospel? I have begotten you by the gospel. We've been begotten by the gospel. We're unashamed of the gospel because the gospel is God's power unto salvation. If only a lost and dying world would grasp that and hang on to that, believe that, and obey that, it would be a better world for each and every one of us. Point number 5, my brethren and my friends, this message is for the Christian and the non-Christian, for the member of the Church of Christ and those who are not yet members of the Church of Christ. By what are you saved? If you're already a member of the Church of Christ, then perhaps the question is, by what were you saved? But the same responses would be given as we're giving right now. Number 5, by what are you saved? You are saved by obedience. You are saved by obedience. The Bible has much to say about obedience, from cover to cover, as the late Brother Johnny Ramsey would say. From Genesis to Revelation, one can read about obedience on the part of people throughout the history of humanity. We'll highlight but 2 verses on point number 5 tonight. And again, we're highlighting Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 reads, of our Lord, and being made perfect, your translation may read, and being made complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He is the author of eternal salvation to whom? To all that obey him. We can't stress that enough. Obedience is that important. Back in the book of beginnings, back in the book of Genesis, back in Genesis 22 and verse 18, we have this conversation recorded by Moses, preserved by Moses, a conversation between God and Abraham. And here's what God said to Abraham in the long ago. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In Acts 5 and verse 29, the apostles of Christ said, before the religious and civil leaders who had great authority over their lives, and yet they were bold in their proclamation and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, and a verse that is sometimes overlooked, but Philippians 2 and verse 12 says this, the Apostle Paul writing, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Watch it now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The late Brother Wayne Jackson would often say and write that working out one's salvation is simply obeying God. I believe that. Working out one's salvation is simply obeying God. We're not trying to earn or merit our salvation, as we noted a moment ago. We can't do that. But we can obey God. Working out one's salvation, as per Philippians 2 and verse 12, is simply obeying God. There is human responsibility in the matter of salvation. It's been offered by the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ, through the shedding of his blood. But faith is necessary on our part indeed. And belief of the gospel is necessary on our part indeed. And that involves obedience on our part indeed. And we might add, point number 6, dear brethren, dear friends, by what are you saved? At 16 minutes after the hour, you are saved by confession. That is one we don't often highlight. But won't you consider Romans chapter 10 and verse 10? We are saved by confession, not by confession alone, not by confession only, but it is part of God's scheme of redemption. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Where would we be without that great confession, without that great and good and bold confession? The confession that Peter made in the long ago was recorded in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The confession that the eunuch that Brother Tommy referenced before from Acts chapter 8, the confession that he made in the presence of Philip before his baptism again in Acts 8:35 and following. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That scripture, as you well know, was Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip responded. Philip answered, "If thou believest in the Christ, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, that is the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. Again, Acts 8:35 and following. That great confession. One more time, Romans chapter 10, verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And finally tonight, dear brethren, finally tonight, my friend, if you're considering obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're wondering what you might need to do, well, we're trying to tell you what you need to do. And finally, dear brethren, by what are you saved? Finally, dear friend, by what are you saved? You're saved by baptism. You're saved by baptism. Why does this point, more than any other, why is it that this point grates the world so much? Why does it irritate them so much? Why do they risk all to get rid of it? The matter of baptism, the essentiality of baptism, the necessity of baptism. Over in Mark 16, verse 16, you know it. You've memorized it. You've known it from your youth. Our Lord said in the long ago, and Mark recorded these words, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The effort is made to the present day, down to the present hour. The effort continues to be made to get rid of that verse, and the import of the verse, and the power of the verse, and the practicality of the verse, and the urgency of the verse. And the effort, perhaps the major effort in the last several years, in fact, going back a number of years, has been to deny the actual use of those words in the final chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark 16. The claim is made that those final 12 verses of Mark 16, verses 9 through 20, don't actually occur in the original copy of the Gospel of Mark, that they're not original to what Mark recorded and our Lord said in the long ago. But I deny that is the case. The manuscript evidence is abundant for this, and I believe it with every fiber of my being and with all of my heart. I believe that our Lord did say, and I believe that Mark actually did record, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Peter said in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, the last part of verse 20 and all of verse 21, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can that be misunderstood? How could one not get the point that Peter is making in verse 21? The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. By what are you saved tonight? Are you saved by faith? Are you saved by the blood of Christ? Are you saved by grace? Are you saved by the gospel? Are you saved by obedience? Are you saved by confession? Are you saved by baptism? Indeed, you are. Indeed, we are. Baptism is that consummating act in our obedience. We comply with it. We engage in it. We are baptized into Christ as a loving response in obedience to the grace offering of salvation by Jesus Christ. It was Ananias who said to Saul, later to be known as Paul in the long ago, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That is what we ask you to do tonight. We invite you to come repenting of your sins, to acknowledge via confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and find a member of the Church of Christ to baptize you into Christ, that you might put on Christ, that the Lord might add you to his church, and that you might be saved. We'll end where we began. Acts 2 and verse 47, the final verse of the great chapter, Acts chapter 2, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. If you desire to become a member of the Church of Christ, we'll be praying toward that end. We want to do everything we can to help you and aid you in being successful in that effort. As Brother Tommy mentioned at the front end of our program, email, call, get in touch with Brother Tommy and the good brethren at the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, and they'll put you in contact with a preacher, a faithful, sound preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you too can have what I have and what Tommy has and what Brother Bishop has, and that is salvation from our sins. And we were able to accomplish that by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we were immersed in water for the full forgiveness of our sins. We love and appreciate each of you. We thank you for tuning in tonight. And with that, we turn things back over to Brother Tommy Brooks.